Hi, everyone. Producer Chris here. You're about to listen to an interview I did over the weekend with an activist working with Portland's Occupy ICE movement. I originally intended this as a segment on this weekend's show, but ended up feeling like it didn't really fit in there, so we're putting it out now. And that's also why it's a little on the short side. If you all enjoy this, I'd like to do more conversations with people participating in direct actions out there. So if there are any actions you think we should be aware of or people I should get in touch with, you can always reach out to me on Twitter. I'm at SayWhatAgain. And if you don't enjoy this, then feel free to email Virgil and complain. All right, on to the interview. Hi, this is Chris Wade here with Jordan. He is an activist with Portland's Occupy ICE movement. Jordan has been at the camp off and on since the day after the occupation began on the 17th of June. The camp was able to shut down Portland's ICE facility for about a week at the end of June until DHS agents forcibly removed the camp from ICE's driveway and entrance on June 28th. But the camp has persisted on public land directly adjacent to the ICE facility until now. And this is July 8th. So you said this is the 21st day or so of the occupation?
21st, yes.
And Jordan is now on location at the camp in Portland. So Jordan, how's it going?
It's going pretty well. Moods are high. We're getting stuff done. We're always building more infrastructure, keeping comms updated.
Could you start off by describing just what the camp is like, you know, what the facilities are like there, kind of what the space is like, and how you're running it?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are a non-hierarchical, more kind of anarchist-y leaning group. We're ideologically diverse, but we agreed that that would be the best way going forward. So everything's consensus-based. We have a general assembly every morning at about 9 a.m. And for facilities, we have multiple porta-potties. We have Wi-Fi, although it's kind of iffy at times because we're outside. Electricity, charging stations, a finance tent. It's pretty well-stocked, I would say, as well as a fully stocked kitchen where we have three meals a day.
And about how many people are there at any given time?
I would say about 40 or 50. It tends to row right before the nightly vigils we have when people get off work. We have those at about 8 p.m.
And yeah, what kind of actions are you doing on a day-to-day basis there?
Doing strategy or strategizing for other events besides the occupation. The occupation is a tactic. It's not a strategy. So it's just one of many things we're working on at the moment, as well as just yoga, mental health events. We have massage therapists that come and volunteer their time, making sure everyone feels good. We had a DJ here a couple of days ago.
Nice. Occupy the dance floor.
Yeah.
So what are your general goals right now? What is kind of the both short-term and long-term idea of what's going on there?
So short term, we want the city of Portland to cancel the lease on this building. This building is privately owned by a man named Stuart Lindquist. We've been applying pressure to get him to just kind of throw up his hands and cancel the lease. We've been applying pressure to city council to make sure, see if they can do anything about that. We also want Portland to establish an Office of Immigrant Rights and follow general sanctuary city guidelines like it should be, but has failed to since it voted on becoming a sanctuary city about a year ago. And more long-term, we're here for the complete abolition of ICE and the reunification of those children with their family.
Great. And are the people there, is there commitment to maintain the occupation until ICE is abolished?
I wouldn't necessarily say that. I think once this building is gone, we would probably pack up and apply pressure to other places.
Nice.
We're mostly here until the building gets its lease canceled and a few of our demands are met.
Have you had any communication with the parties that might be able to, you know, complete that action to get the lease canceled?
Yes, absolutely. We've been packing city council meetings. Our mayor was mysteriously on vacation the week after the occupation started.
Yes,
and has not been back since.
Your mayor, the star of IFC's hit series Portlandia.
So I believe that was our last mayor.
Oh, that was the last mayor? The kind man who sometimes peek around corners?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, our current mayor is scrawny finance bro.
Okay. So you've not had communication with the mayor, but you have had people in touch with local government. Does it seem like there is any motion or movement on meeting any of your demands?
At least two of the four, not including the mayor, city councilors have voiced their support. The other two are doing the prerequisite fence sitting and giving non-answers, mm-hmm. but we're keeping the pressure up and keeping the momentum going.
So I want to talk a little bit about the interactions with the authorities there. Both, I don't think the local police have been involved, but were you there at all when the DHS raid happened?
I was. There's a picture of me on Twitter lying in front of DHS in a sleeping bag because I was very irritated that they woke me up at 5:30 for some nonsense.
Yeah. Well, could you describe that whole interaction?
Yeah, so it was 5:30 in the morning, and I get this call of red alert. So I wake up, and DHS has, in full military gear, stormed the front of the building, is tearing down barricades. There's weapons. We don't know if they're live ammunition or if they're less than lethal, air quotes, weapons, but they're big. They're real firearms.
Mm-hmm.
And there was about 100 of them, at least, just storming this tiny little peaceful protest.
And they just kind of, pushed you off the property, basically?
Yeah, there were about 8 arrests. We had some people, we knew they were going to do something that night, so we had people chained up together. So they all got arrested, and a few other protesters as well. And there was some threats of arrest that never materialized.
So just kind of general harassment afterwards?
Yeah.
Have there been any other direct conflicts or confrontations? I know that there was another, I believe, a separate action where the Proud Boys kind of went on a rampage in Portland, but I don't think that was directly related to the Occupy thing.
No, it was not. CNN did misreport that as happening at the Occupy, but that was a separate event. That was a Patriot Prayer rallying in downtown. The only thing we really had to deal with is Proud Boys throwing stink bombs at us, which is it's the most middle school thing, but I they're too cowardly to actually come and face us.
Right. Have there been any other issues or challenges that you'd like to share?
Not particularly. I think sometimes the biggest issue is porta potties, and just making sure that those are done on time. But other than that, we've been well stocked on food. Everyone's generally in pretty decent spirits. There's the occasional camp drama, but that's what happens when you stick, 50 people in a small space for 20 days.
Are there any particular groups that have been, really helpful that you've been working with out there that you'd like to even just shout out?
Yes, absolutely. So our main charity that we're working with the money we raise on GoFundMe is Pueblo Unido. Mm-hmm. They do pro bono legal representation for people who are having troubles getting legal representation for their immigration court dates, as well as just general. We've had local charities donate supplies to SEIU was the one who donated the porta potties to us.
Nice.
The community support has been absolutely amazing, and we're making sure to keep working and consulting with groups who are directly helping these communities.
Yeah, amazing. I saw a number of pictures with like little old ladies sitting directly at the protest line,
The radical grandmas are so great.
Yeah.
We love them.
Yeah. They seem very cool. Just another story I saw that maybe you could tell. Could you tell me about the street cleaners who came to the ICE building? The power washers?
Yeah. So, on the day that they raided the front, they had some power washers who came by and were trying to power wash the stuff off the windows. So we looked up the company and we told them what their crew was out here doing. And as soon as the management found out who they were cleaning for, they recalled their crew, and ICE had to hire another one.
That's great. So it really does seem like almost everybody that you interact with in the community out there basically supports what you're doing, other than certain elements of your city government and ICE itself.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's good to hear. I mean, it seems like if you can get this kind of activism in front of people, they're generally able to sign on.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Is there anything else you'd like to talk to me about?
We've had communications with some other occupiers about tactics going forward.
Oh, yes, I want to ask about this. Tell me what you've been doing with the other occupiers. I know that Philly just got raided a few days ago. We've kind of had things going off and on here in New York, but who else are you in communication with?
I know we are in communication with Tacoma. We've been going back and forth between Tacoma and Portland. Or we've had a few people going back and forth just to make sure those folks up there are doing okay. The detention center in Tacoma is the largest one on the West Coast.
Mm.
So we want to make sure that occupation keeps going strong. They faced a ton of state repression up there.
Yeah.
State repression that we are lucky enough to have not had to have faced yet.
Because your local government is a little more sympathetic to you.
Yeah.
Mm. Great. Well, other than the Pueblo Unido, if people out there want to help or support you guys, is there any place that they could that you would direct them to for either you or the Tacoma occupation?
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't know about Tacoma, but we have a GoFundMe, the Occupy ICE PDX GoFundMe.
Great.
Most of those funds are going to Pueblo Unido, but some of them may also be used for in an emergency, just camp stuff or whatever we need to. And then if anyone's in Portland, we have a donation box where people can just throw some cash our way to help clean our porta potties. We always appreciate that. And other than that, if people can show up or express support over social media, whatever you can do is perfectly fine. And we always appreciate it.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for talking with me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.